And I would imagine there's a few people in North Korea and in Russia that wouldn't mind a little worship. Mr. Putin, and I don't know whoever's in charge in North Korea, whatever gods have been made down through the centuries up to right now, they've all wanted the power to be a god or someone like a god. The problem with all of them, including the emperors, is they did not truly have the ability to answer prayer. That's one of the ways you separate a false god from the real one. Do they have the ability and power? Though they make claims they do, they simply do not have the power to answer prayer. I'm telling you, when you think about, and it was proven very clearly on Mount Carmel. Listen, the spirit of this Baal god has carried on through history, still going on today. But I'd like to confront those that think, and I'm not going there, but Baal was big on killing babies, is all I'm going to say. I still think there's Baal worship going on today. Elijah, all by himself against 800 prophets of Baal. I guess they could snow a lot of people, but they didn't snow Elijah because he knew the real God. And he says, let's see if your God will answer prayer. You know the story. They had a 6-hour prayer meeting from 9 in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they shouted and they yelled and they started to tear their clothes up. And then they started cutting themselves trying to get Baal to answer prayer. And at the end of the day, he did not answer prayer. He don't have the power to answer prayer or the phone. That's pretty good, wasn't it? We were at the widower's luncheon and a dog started barking. It was just someone's ringtone. So the devil himself is limited. You know these Satanists and so forth, and they do these blood sacrifices, but he's limited in what he can do. Ooh, did you see we had a seance and the chair lifted up? So what's the big deal? Ooh. Even the devil is limited, and you know, he doesn't answer prayer. He veils his answer in destruction, but that's what's on the other side of that. So if we settle on the idea that there is one true God, it's not enough to understand that there is a powerful being. It's not enough. Hear me, to have a higher power. It's not enough. You've got to have the right one. So let's say you've settled in, yes, there is one true God. And He is the Creator of heaven and earth. He's the one. And this God is all powerful. This God is all knowing. And this God is present everywhere at once. It still doesn't answer the question, does God answer prayer? Because it doesn't matter if He's all-powerful and all-knowing and all-present if He doesn't answer prayer. If this God doesn't care enough about us that He will listen to us and respond, then what good is it to know of a big God, a Creator God? And so many people get waylaid who don't understand this, that they understand that there is a God, but He's way far away and He cannot be touched, and neither does He care what we're going through. Even if you believe in one true God, to believe that, you don't have much. You're going through this life thinking that He doesn't care enough to answer your prayer. They don't know the Lord then. If you think that our God is like that, you got wrong thinking. You couldn't be further from the truth. This idea that God is way far away and He doesn't really care what happens to you or what you go through. And so if you have that idea, if He doesn't care, then what does it matter what you do with your life then? It leads you down a road that doesn't lead to good. So the question is, does the God that we believe in, the God of Genesis and the God of Revelation, does He answer prayer? That's the question. We need more. We're in a few minutes, we're going to ask for your personal experiences, but we need more than that. And when we go to the Word of God, Jesus declares it in Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Luke 11, starting with verse 9. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "And I say unto you, ask." Are you there? I'll wait for you to get there, because if it's not underlined, you need to underline it. "I say unto you," He knew over 2,000 years later, we would be in this building and we would be reading this scripture. And so Jesus, when Jesus speaks, He speaks throughout space and time. Speaks through all thousands of years. He speaks out. He says, "I say unto you, Scott, ask and it shall be given you." When I pray for these prodigals, I'm going to bring Luke 11:9 up to the Lord. "You said, ask, and I would receive." "Seek, and ye shall find." He didn't say you might. If you seek the Lord, you'll find Him. I preached a little while ago about it. I don't care where you are on this planet. I don't care if you're at a weather station in Antarctica. If you want to get to know God, and you'll begin to seek Him, He'll make Himself known to you. "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Are you there, verse 10? This is bold, bold talk. "For who? Everyone. For everyone that asketh, receiveth." Now the devil would say, "Well, you prayed for this and it didn't come to be, so the scripture can't be right." I know how that devil tries to put lies in there. "For everyone that asketh, receiveth." We're going to in a minute we'll understand. What you receive is the best for you. It might not be what you think is best for you, but He'll get the best to you. "For everyone that asketh, receiveth." Then ask. Go ahead and ask. Nothing's too little and nothing's too big. Go ahead and ask. "For he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Who's speaking? Who's speaking? Does Jesus lie? Okay. He goes on, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a fish? For a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" And the Holy Spirit envelops everything. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need, because He's going to take care of all the business, all right? "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" It's not complicated. Jesus didn't stutter. Jesus didn't, He was in His right mind here when He told them this. So Jesus declares that God answers prayer. Not sometimes. Not maybe. For His children, He answers prayer according to Jesus. You may not understand his answer. You know, you have the old, well, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's yes, and sometimes it's wait. I know all about that. But I think he even does better than that. He will bring about those things that you feel need to be. He will bring you to the point of where he is meeting the need, and you will eventually see it, even if he doesn't. Even if your mom, she had cancer and she died, you prayed for her and she died anyways. Don't say, oh, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Well, how do you know he did? Because we're going to read another scripture, because he's going to answer it according to his will and what's best for you. How can you say me losing my mother is the best for me? I don't say that. God says that, because he's got something to teach you and bring you along. Jump down a couple of chapters to Luke chapter 18. Of course, Jesus starts out the 18th chapter of Luke with the story of the woman that goes to the unjust judge. And he says, you know, I don't regard anybody, but because you keep coming, I'll give you what you need. Then verse 7, this is Jesus speaking. And shall not God avenge his own elect? Have you ever been done dirt? Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I will tell you that he will avenge them speedily. That's why he says, vengeance is not yours, it's mine. He doesn't say it won't ever happen. He says you just put it in my hands. There are many wicked people in this world. And they like to, for their own gratification, harm other people. And the Lord says, I'll take care of that. If you let me, I'll take care of it. Don't waste your time on getting vengeance on other people. It's not worth it. But if you let me handle it. So, sometimes the greatest vengeance is when you take a wicked person and they get saved. That's the greatest vengeance. Others is that the Lord kills them. But anyway. We're not to mess with the gospel. We're not to change it. And we're not to get in the way of it. And I've seen firsthand God take vengeance on people. And it's not pretty when he gets done. You don't need to do a thing. You just leave it in his hands. Paul always left it in the Lord's hands. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Will you trust him to the end, is what he's saying. Will you trust me with your life? And sometimes when the abuser is somebody in authority, even a government, will you trust God? That's why there's no reason to shoot the ear off a presidential candidate, regardless of what party they stand for, or even, you know. No, there's no excuse for that. You let God deal with that. I'm moving on here. I skipped supper. Philippians 4:6. I prepared myself for this evening. Philippians 4:6, you're all familiar with it, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says, the New Testament specifically. They're all through the Old Testament. There's many, many examples. We would be here for a semester. Philippians 4:6, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It would not be in there except that it works. It's a command here. Why is it a command? Because it works. And the fallout of your request being made known unto God is that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You cannot lose. When you bring a request unto the Lord God, you cannot lose. You say, well, maybe my prayers aren't getting to the Lord. Do you know in the New Testament life that there is nothing that can stop your prayer? Jesus opened the heavens by His shed blood, and your prayers will get through. The devil can't stop your prayers from getting through. Demons cannot stop it. That's why the devil makes a practice of doing everything to get you not to pray, because he knows he has no defense against a praying people. There is no defense against the praying people. And so his trick is to get us to quit praying whenever we can. Because he knows the scripture. And he knows that Jesus said, if you ask, you'll receive. He knows Jesus said that. He knows the Apostle Paul, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, put this in the Bible. He knows the results of a praying people. And that's why he battles you and I every day to keep us from praying. If you want to give the devil a black eye, pray. And Cece, believe. Believe while you pray. All right, I'm going to move on. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Under the unction again of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle John writes, 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, the Lord. That if we, are you there? If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. It is proper to ask according to His will. Jesus prayed according to the Father's will. This is the great secret to prayer. That to say, not my will, but thine be done. Because God's will is the best for me. God's will is the best for you. It is the very best answer to your prayer. As you are asking Him, you ask according to His will, because He makes sure then that He hears us. I don't have time to tell you about James. You have not because you ask not. And you ask and have not because you desire to consume it upon your own lust. Instead of asking according to the will of God, these arrogant people that say, well, I know, I'm going to force God to do it my way. Okay, whatever. Let's read this phrase again. If we ask anything according to His will. I've been part of two plantings of churches. I happen to be the pastor of both of them. And you have, during that process, you have to ask for anything to get it done. We started out with nothing in New York. We had people, but we had nothing else in New York in order to start a church plant. But when you ask the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for supply, He's the one that has the supply. And it absolutely, when I look back on it now, when I'm going through it, I don't appreciate it. But because you're every day, it's like, oh Lord, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? I said, God, we need a place to meet. We don't have a place to meet. And He says, well, here's a church over here. It happens to have an Episcopalian name on it, but I think you can get in there. I don't even know. I approached the guy, the vicar. They call them vicars. I approached the vicar and I said, hey, would you let me rent your building? He says, well, early in the morning before we come in, very bad time. So we started church before 9 o'clock in the morning. That was church. Then we had Sunday school downstairs afterwards. But God provided it for us. And the vicar charged me $150. I said, fine. The first month, at the end of the month, I wrote a $600 check out to him, $150 a week. And pretty soon, a knock comes on my door. The same day, a knock comes on the door, and it's the vicar. And I go, oh, boy, this can't be good. We were too loud. We were too loud. We messed up the bird bath baptismal or something. And this Episcopalian vicar, he still had his little collar on. He said, I got your check. Yeah, yeah. Is it okay? Is it enough? He goes, I'm not trying to rip you off. It's $150 a month, not a week. I said, God bless you, vicar. We were busting at the seams at that Episcopalian church and said, well, how do we build? We don't have any money. I know, but we got to go. And I went out and we had a lot of farmland. I said, there's a nice field. It was not for sale. I found the farmer who owned it. I said, would you sell us some acreage? He sold us 23 acres for $13,000. This is in 1985 and 1986, all right. So we were able to pay for the property, and on we go. You have to ask for anything sometimes. God tremendously helped us. So I come to Phoenix and meet with the district, Arizona district. I said, I do not want to plant a church. I've done that. Don't want to do it again. I've done my penance. I've been punished. Brother Jones and Brother Truen said, well, it's growing out north of Phoenix, and we probably could use a church out there if you'd like to plant a church. Because I got the inside scoop from another pastor what not to do. And so I was offered a different church, and I was tempted, but I got good advice. Anyway, and I said, okay, I'll plant a church. At the time, it was me and Deb and the boys. And we started looking out at Lake Pleasant area. It's where they wanted us to go. And we were out there and just traveling and on a road out by Lake Pleasant. And we saw this cow that had died 2 days earlier on the side of the road. And it was the size of a hot air balloon at that time. And Deb looked at me. She goes, I am not coming out here. That's it. We are not coming out here. And I said, Lord, 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 what are we going to do? We don't have a place to meet. Where are we going to meet? I don't know. He said, I'll find a place for you. And I don't even remember her name, Brother Jones's secretary at the time. But she said, you might want to look at schools. And so we went over to Desert Sage Elementary School, and I said, hey, at that time in the 1990s, end of the 1990s, every school had a church in it. Every school had a church in it. And when one church would die, another one would come in and take its place. And they said, that's funny you should ask. We just had a church leave. And it is open. And the Lord, you have to ask for anything when you're planting the church. And Desert Sage was anything. We sat on the lunch tables that turned into chairs or pews or something. I don't know what they were called, but they were hard and straight. But you ask. And I don't want to bore you here, but so We were there for some years. Those chairs you're sitting in, they're still from there. We moved them every week in and out because people refused to sit on those table chairs. 6 years we were there. Lord God, help us. Now, we have a little money. We don't have a lot of money. We have a little money. And it's like, Lord, how am I ever going to buy property here? I have no idea how we'd ever do it. We looked at Stetson Hills in there, Stetson Hills, and they were building houses there. And they said, we have a lot. Yes, it's a church lot. It's a one-acre lot for a church. I said, wonderful. What do you want for it? $1 million. Now remember, my last church, I bought 23 acres for $13,000. $1 million. And I said, that's more than I have faith for. And the Lord showed us this property, and that's how we got here, and God paid for it. Because He'll answer any prayer. That what I'm saying, it's God's will to preach the gospel. It's God's will to help poor people in Africa. It's God's will. And He'll do any, if we'll ask Him anything, He'll do it for us, because He wants His will done on this planet. Hallelujah. It is absolutely permissible for you to pray for a job. God, give me the job that You want me to have so that Your will be accomplished. Put me somewhere where I can be used. And He will. I said He will. We get nervous, but He will. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Honey, when the Creator of the heavens and the earth hears you, everything's going to be okay. Oh, I haven't gotten to verse 15 yet. And if we know that He hear us, are you there? Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. You can keep Baal, you can keep Las Vegas, you can keep whatever the world has to offer. Give me Jesus, because He answers prayer according to the Word of God. We do it His way, because then He gets the glory. So my question to you tonight, does anyone here believe that our God answers prayer? And do you have an example? A short example. A really short example that God answers prayer. I've got a couple of microphones in the congregation behind you, Jamie. Angela, get your hand up, but keep it brief, all right? We don't want the ice cream melting.
About 15 years ago, when I was maybe a sophomore or junior in college, I had a class that I needed to take at ASU, and they were telling me it was going to cost thousands of dollars. And I was 19 years old, and I didn't have thousands of dollars, and my parents didn't have thousands of dollars for one class for me so that I could graduate and eventually graduate. And so on a Wednesday night, I asked for prayer here. I need the Lord to provide something, money to pay for the class or a different way. So Pastor asked me to bring my debit card to that front seat where great-grandma is sitting, and we laid hands on my debit card. And 2 weeks later, I found the same class, $40. And that one instance has put in me that to trust God with my finances. And every time something has come up that has been an expense, the Lord has always come through. And I graduated without any debt. I have a degree, and I had no debt.
So hallelujah.
God answers prayer.
Amen. Ma.
You know, in the last year, I've been hospitalized several times with this bacteria that seemed to invade me and was consuming me. And everything they tried, the doctors, everything, you know, I testified of this before, that the antibiotics that they gave me was over $10,000. And then I had to have it again at $10,000. And then they said no more. So my back was against the wall. I said, God, if it's not You, it's not anything, because I can't afford another $10,000. And sure enough, one Sunday morning, God touched me.
Hallelujah.
I've been well.
Hallelujah.
I'm better than I've ever been.
Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Esther, go to Esther. She's got a testimony.
Well, I have been hurting. My jaw has been hurting for a long, long time. And I just seemed like I just couldn't eat. I had to eat very soft foods like soups and stuff like that. And I kept praying and praying. And I didn't leave one time without praying. I said, Lord, please heal me of my jaw. Please heal me. And I just, the doctor, well, they forget the doctors. They just want your money. And he couldn't get me until November or something like that. I just kept... You prayed what... You said one time, just, maybe I don't have faith enough. But I thought I had faith enough.
Of course.
And I kept praying and praying. And in 2 weeks now, I have not had a pain.
Hallelujah.
I have not had a pain in... And I have been eating everything that couldn't eat before.
Hallelujah.
So I just thank the Lord for
Amen. Just
touching me.
Amen.
And He's going to do what He's going to do, when He's going to do.
Hallelujah.
And
Amen.
I just love Him. I just love Him this,
Amen.
This evening very, very much.
Praise God. Raise your hand, Tammy. There's only one Tammy in the room, I think.
I want to thank the Lord. He's done so much for our family, for me. As you know, we almost lost my father a year ago, and we prayed. We all set to pray, and many people prayed. And I just have wonderful news this week. My dad had an echocardiogram after all this time, I got the message. They had his chart, and they just said, "Good morning, Ron. I hope this message finds you well. Your echocardiogram shows that your heart function is now normal. This is great news.
Wow.
Continue with your current medication."
Hallelujah.
I mean, that's a miracle.
Yes.
Because he had 100% blockage in his main artery. He had 99 blockage and 99, so many different blockages. And to get that confirmation, because we knew the Lord was working this whole time, and I just praise God for that. I praise God for my daughter, who,
yeah.
You know, we prayed here.
Yes.
We prayed she posted something today about how we prayed the anointing over her womb, and how you said we might have prayed a little bit too much, because now she has twins. Twin girls.
All right.
They're doing wonderful, and I praise and thank the Lord for Jeremy and Reese's baby. And how she's doing very well, too. And Jeremy has a good testimony to tell you, too.
Well, Jeremy, then it'll be you, then.
Before he does. You know, if I'd have known when we prayed for her that she was...
We might have adjusted
the prayer. My prayer.
Yeah, we would have adjusted the prayer just a little bit.
Well, I got ever since the end of March, I got laid off from my job with American Airlines and have been praying for the Lord to open up something since then. Had several opportunities that came by. Seemed like I was a shoo-in, had great interviews. A couple places told me I was their top candidate, but for some reason or another, the Lord shut the door on all of those. And finally, this past couple weeks ago now, finally gotten a job offer for the right place, and I'm starting there a week from tomorrow. So
praise God.
Looking forward to that, and the Lord answers.
Hallelujah. Amen. Fresh back from the Philippines, and the Lord kept him there in the Philippines and back. Somebody else, Sister Chris. Listen, Dakota's getting tired of sitting back here not doing anything, so.
So, I don't even know where to begin. God has never, never not answered a prayer.
Hallelujah. Of course.
You know, a lot of times we listen to the enemy come up against us. We wrestle with him. And you know what? God is above all things.
Hallelujah.
I just want to say, all the time that I've ever asked for anything, it may not have been answered in the way that I was expecting or what I wanted, but as you so wonderfully pointed out, He does what's best for us, or what's best for us, or whomever we're praying for, what's best for them. The situation is always in His hand.
Hallelujah.
And He knows what's best.
Amen.
The secret to this is to be able to accept what He has come up with. You know, because if we would find ourselves maybe grumbling or complaining or whining or whatever it is you want to call it, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I asked for. You're going to end up in big trouble, I believe. But I think probably one of my best testimonies, aside from the sickness that has befallen me the last year, year and a half, whatever, is that when I was pregnant with my last child, I went back for my 6 weeks checkup after having my second child, and I was pregnant again. And the doctor explained to me that some people are built to be able to have babies boom, boom, boom like that. I, however, am not. And so he told me, he said, you probably won't carry this child full term. But he put me on immediate complete bed rest, and that lasted for a whole week. So I went through a whole week of complete bed rest. Honey, that is not a way to live. And so that Sunday after that, I went up for prayer. And, okay, this has been 40-plus years ago. And I said, you know, I want God to take care of this.
Yes.
And so I got prayed for, and I went back to living and doing whatever needed to be done. And the doctor was seeing me once a week at that time. And then after prayer, he said, well, I think maybe we could see you every 2 weeks now. You're doing so good. And so that went on for probably a month, month and a half, two, I don't know. And he said, well, whatever you're doing, keep doing. He said, because you're really coming along. Let's come once a month.
Hallelujah.
And so long story short, of course, I delivered full term. And it's God.
Amen.
That adheres and answers prayer.
Oh, yes.
There's nothing. Yes. There's nothing.
Hallelujah.
That I have any, you know, because the enemy will come to you and he'll jump up and whisper in your ear, well, you're not good enough. Well, of course we're not good enough. You know, and we are our own worst enemy. We know what we have failed and how we failed, and he's going to bring that up to you. But you have to trust God. You have to persevere and know that the blood has covered you, and there is nothing that can penetrate that blood.
Hallelujah.
And I thank God, because I have been through so much, and I'm not trying to build up the devil. Please don't misinterpret. He's nothing. He just don't get it, though. You know, though he slay me, yet I will trust him.
Hallelujah.
I said something to somebody recently, and I said, you know, if he'd slay me, that would be the easy way out.
Yeah, that's right.
It definitely would be. I mean, it's a win-win situation.
Yes.
But we have to know that God will answer whatever it is you're asking for. If you believe it in your heart. And that's what the scriptures tell us. You just read it. You know, I just thank and praise God, because I know that no matter what happens, you know what, as an American, I shake in my boots looking around.
Yeah.
But as a Christian, I'm encouraged.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Because I know these things must come to pass. And he that endureth to the end
shall be saved.
And you know, his grace is sufficient.
Hallelujah.
And I praise and thank God for hearing and answering prayer.
Yes. All right. Amen. Anybody else? Got Danielle and then Cece.
So I have, the Lord blessed me a lot. I have two occasions in my life where the Lord healed me. But I'll share one of them tonight. So about 19 years ago, I was diagnosed with cysts on my ovaries. After a year or so going back and forth to the doctor, I finally said, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I can't take it anymore. And so the doctor at that point wanted to remove my ovaries. And I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to put it in God's hands. And so that's what I did. And so long story short, after a couple of months or so, I got pregnant, which I was surprised because I wasn't supposed to. You're not supposed to say what you have. So then I went to get my first sonogram, And I asked, I said, is the baby okay? Because, you know, I have cysts.
Yeah.
Well, how's it going to happen? And she goes, cysts? You have no cysts. There's nothing there. What are you talking about? And so I better thank God, because Isabella is my miracle baby.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Because if I were to remove my ovaries, Isabella wouldn't have been. So I want to thank the Lord.
Amen.